Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 13th China Fahui on Minghui.org, entitled Cherishing the Cultivation Opportunity, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in Xujiang Province, China.
China Fahui, Cherishing the Cultivation Opportunity, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in Xujiang Province, China. Greetings, Master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I am a physician, and I have practiced Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong, for less than 2 years. Nonetheless, I have witnessed many miracles, including those that occurred when I was detained for 15 days because of my belief. Here I would like to share them with you. Mind and body uplifted. When I was in medical school in 2003, I had acute gastrointestinal bleeding, which led to chronic stomach problems, neck issues, and chicken pox. In addition, my brother was fired from his job and sent to a forced labor camp for practicing Falun Dafa. The physical pain and mental pressure I was under left me depressed and dizzy. As a result, I had to rely on medication every day. At the 2014 New Year, I visited a friend who told me about the health benefits of Falun Dafa. I trusted her and, with help from my mother and brother, I began to read Zhuan Falun and learn the exercises. 5 days later, all my discomfort was gone, and I was both healthy and happy. For the first time in my life, I understood what true happiness is. I was not very busy at work, so I spent lots of time reading Dafa books every day. I read through all of them in about a month, and was deeply touched by the profound principles in the teachings. It was as if all the cells in my body were being purified, and countless numbers of Falun were rotating inside and outside my body. Very often, I was able to see through my celestial eye and other phenomena described in Zhuan Falun. I came to understand the purpose of life and why we exist in this world. One day, when I reached tranquility while doing the second exercise, I saw a big spittoon. Inside it were countless struggling small black beings, including me. Several times Master took me out of the container with his golden hand, but each time I slid back into it again. Looking at the filth in the spittoon, I was in tears and said, "Master, please do not pick me up anymore. It is so disgusting. I would not even do it myself." Master did not say anything and continued trying until he got me out of the container. Looking at my existence, black and totally covered in foul phlegm, I begged Master to throw it away. "It is so rotten. Please do not keep it any longer." Without a word, Master gently placed it in his palm and took it to a heavenly pond to wash its exterior and to clean its stomach with a tube. That existence vomited and sneezed and spit out substances even dirtier than in a sewer. Although some of it spilled onto Master's golden kaseya, Master did not mind and continued cleaning it. After a long time, Master placed it on a piece of golden cloth and made the big lotus flower hand sign in front of me. Gradually, part of the existence turned white. Then the dark sections became less and less until they totally disappeared. By then, that existence, that was me, was clean and lovely, just like a newborn. That baby woke up and climbed down to kneel in front of Master. Master, who was all in a sweat, looked at her with compassion and smiled. Then I came out of tranquility and found tears rolling down my face. Since that day, I am often in tears when I do the exercises. During those days, I did not know how to do the three things, but I often told my co-workers and patients about Falun Dafa. One patient started to practice. Once, when I was doing the exercises with him, I saw two of Master's Fashen. One worked on his neck, and one helped adjust my arm. I told this practitioner about this, but but he could not see anything. Later on, his neck problem, which had bothered him for a long time, disappeared and never came back. Determination despite the persecution. With help from other practitioners, I also began to produce and distribute materials related to Falun Dafa. In early 2015, local police came to my workplace and tricked me into going to a police station. I immediately began to send forth righteous thoughts. My parents came the next day with an attorney. The head of the local 610 office came a day later with several officials and some of my co-workers. Seeing the officer turning them against Dafa, I was very sad and cried for a long time. All of them asked me to write statements giving up my belief. Without hesitation, I refused, thinking of my brother who had been detained and severely tortured for over 10 years before. I cried again and said in my mind, "Master, I will never give up my belief." Several days later, an agent from the 610 office came with a middle-aged woman. When I saw Master's giant fashion in her back, I smiled and said to Master that I would do well. The woman told me she had practiced Dafa in the past and had told others about it. After being arrested and transformed, however, she began to believe in Buddhism. When she started to slander Master, I spoke to her with compassion. "You know Falun Dafa is good and Master is great. Saying such things will only drag you down." "If hell does exist, I will go there first," she replied. I told her that I saw Master's fashion on her back. She smirked. "I don't believe you, and I'm not scared." Stunned by her words, I now realized how bad it could be for a person to leave Dafa and go the opposite way. After a while, I told her I had not read Master's teachings for several days and asked if she could bring some. The woman came back 2 days later with another, older woman, who had also stopped practicing and now followed Buddhism. I began to read Master's articles and did not pay attention to what they said. The older woman soon stopped me and told me to read a Buddhist book she had brought. The moment I opened the book, I saw a snake laying on the words, ready to jump out onto me. I closed the book and told them I would only read books written by Master Lee. The two women and a police officer next to them said I had to. The officer said that Falun Dafa was political and it was better to stay away from it. I explained to him that practitioners have no political agenda and that they have been wrongly persecuted. "Please calm down and think it over. You will find out what is right and what is wrong," I said to them. The officer insisted that the 9 commentaries on the Communist Party that practitioners distributed was anti-party and very political. I told them that everyone should think critically instead of blindly believing the propaganda. They continued to say bad things about Dafa, and I was in tears again. Master Lee saved me and helped us to be better people. "We all know this, and nothing can change that," I said with determination. Everyone came for the Fa. The day after I arrived at the detention center, the director of the center came at break time. "Where is the MD? The Falun Gong physician," he shouted as he came by. After I told him who I was, he said to me, "Look at you. Why do you want to waste time on Falun Gong? Isn't it better to just be a doctor?" "Well, I am a doctor, but I could not cure my own ailments," I answered him in a loud voice so that others could hear. "And not just me. My co-workers could not cure me either. It was Falun Dafa that helped me get healthy and taught me to be a better person by following the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance." Several other officers showed up, and one of them began to say negative things about Dafa. "Listen," I stopped him. "There is no law that bans Falun Dafa. It is Jiang Zemin who started the persecution because he was jealous that so many were following it." I told them that Jiang and his regime defamed Falun Dafa with hate propaganda, such as the staged Tiananmen self-immolation. As I continued to talk about how Jiang betrayed China's interests and Zhao Yokang was arrested for corruption, the director walked away, and so did his buddies. "Falun Dafa is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good," I shouted to them. The detention center held hundreds of people, and most of them heard me. Some clapped and repeated what I'd said. Their voices echoed in the yard for a long time. In the following days, while I was detained there, I often called out, "Falandafa is good." Many detainees joined me. Every time that happened, I saw countless Falun falling on them like snowflakes. Two group leaders see the light. Returning to my cell, I heard the inmates still saying, "Falandafa is good." We began to chat, and I told them the facts about Falandafa. Every one of them decided to renounce their memberships in the party organizations, except for two group leaders in the cell. Both of them were corporate executives being detained because of their husband's bribery. They knew I should not have been detained there, but because of the party propaganda, they considered Falandafa a controversial issue. An aide came in and gave one of them medicine and a plaster, so I knew she had lower back pain. I decided to help her. She was glad that my specialty was the lower back and asked me to examine her. After I gently manipulated her spine, she was very impressed and thanked me for a long time. Surprised by this, the other group leader said to me, "You are beautiful and young with a great future. Why do you practice Falun Gong? Can't you practice something else that the party allows?" Realizing I had not explained things clearly, I told them again how badly I had suffered from various illnesses and how Falandafa miraculously improved my health. I also told them my brother was detained and tortured for not giving up his faith. When I told them how compassionate Master is and how practitioners are determined in their belief despite the pressure, they were all touched and some were in tears. When we weren't talking, I often did the exercises, recited Master's articles, or sent forth righteous thoughts. In the beginning, one group leader suspected the center director would not allow me to do the exercises. I said that, since he did not tell me not to, it should be fine. Late that day, she fell down and hurt her lower back. I worked on her spine for her again and told her to lie down and rest. But when she saw me doing the exercises, she decided to join me by copying my movements. After a short time, she felt something rotating at her lower back, and her entire body was warm. "My back feels great now. Falun Gong is wonderful," she cried out. "Falandafa is good." When the two group leaders talked with each other that afternoon, both agreed the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, had harmed their families and their parents. Suddenly, they both turned to me and said, "Doc, now we finally understand why you would not give up Falun Gong. It is totally the CCP's fault." "Since the party has caused disasters for so many of us," one of them said, "we both announce our withdrawals from that vicious regime, now and forever." Then she added, "Falandafa is great. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is great." All the inmates in the cell chimed in. Then I saw Falun falling from the sky like snowflakes onto their hands, heads, and bodies. Some fell on the beds, quilts, and plates. I knew Master was encouraging them and encouraging me because they had all been saved. "Thank you, Master." The next day, one of the group leaders talked with the center director, who allowed me to do the exercises. When the group leader told her that Falun Gong had cured her lower back pain, the director told her to practice it privately and not in public. "I don't understand this," the group leader said to me. "Why can't we tell the truth? I will tell others about this." A diverse group. All kinds of people end up in a detention center for all kinds of reasons. One woman in her late 60s said when she saw other people gambling in a park, she took out 20 yuan to give it a try and was arrested. "It is so shameful. I've been a good person my entire life. Now this. How can I go on?" She told me how her family had suffered in previous political campaigns. She knew Falandafa was good, but felt the party was just too strong to oppose. I explained to her that we practitioners just want to practice our belief and that Falandafa has benefited tens of millions while causing no harm. In the end, the woman was moved and agreed to quit the party organizations. Some were detained for prostitution, others for gambling, some for taking drugs. They were depressed because they did not know what life would be. I had told them about traditional values and explained to them how Falun Dafa had taught me to be a better person. They were very interested, and some began to recite, "Falun Dafa is good, and truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good." After one of them started to learn the exercises, several others joined. We started a small exercise group. Falun fall like rain. Later, whenever someone new was brought to the cell, the group leaders would tell them, "First go see Dr. Zhang, me, for some training. After the Falun Gong training, you will be a good person and make no trouble." I told each of them about Falun Dafa and the importance of quitting the CCP. In my spare time, I did the exercises, recited Master's teachings, and sent forth righteous thoughts. During the 15 days I was held in the detention center, I tried to tell everyone the facts about Falun Dafa to debunk the communist hate propaganda. Including those who were released, more than 20 of them agreed to renounce the communist regime. At break time, I also spoke with detainees from other cells. Occasionally, I called out, "Falun Dafa is good, and truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good," and many detainees joined me. Through my celestial eye, I saw the divine side of their existence smiling at me and thanking me. At that moment, I saw countless Falun coming out of Master's giant hand, falling on them, the walls, the beds, and other places. The last night I was there, one security guard came and asked me, "Hey, I want to learn Falun Gong too. Can you teach me?" I nodded at him. "You can start by reciting, 'Falun Dafa is good, and truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. Master will help you.' Or, if you want to learn the exercises, there is no problem for me to show them to you." He smiled back and said, "I can't do it in this uniform. After you get out tomorrow, I may come by and visit you to learn them." After he left, I looked around in the cell. Everyone was already asleep, and some of them were already snoring. I looked at them with compassion. Once again, I saw the rain of Falun coming down from the sky. I was deeply touched. I knew that as a practitioner who has practiced Falun Dafa for less than 2 years, Master has done so much for me and given me so many opportunities to help save people no matter where I am. I am sure I will walk the remaining path well. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.